This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn, I'm Chua Eun Teck. The video of Uncle Luke, the blind beggar who was filmed holding up traffic in Bangsa and refusing to budge unless he was given 20 ringgit, went viral recently on social media before being taken down. Users commented about having seen the same person in other areas and experiencing similar strong-arm tactics, leading to speculations on whether he is a con man. Here to clear things up for us is Teo Juin, an occupational therapist and disability rights advocate. Joining her to give his perspective is Tan Boon Kiat, who lost his sight since 24 years old. Welcome. Can I get both of your initial reactions when you first heard the story? Maybe, Juin, I can start with you.
Yeah, so when I first saw the story on social media, I noticed that this had started to go viral. I wasn't sure exactly whether Uncle Luke was actually a blind person or whether as a people were suspicious, you know, whether or not he was just a sighted person pretending to be blind, which I understand is a very common suspicion. So it wasn't until I actually noticed a conversation going on, because I have done research with blind people back in 2010. So I'm actually quite connected to the blind community compared to most sighted people. And that is how I saw them actually talking about him as a member of their own community. And that was when I realized, oh dear, he actually is blind. And furthermore, people were talking about his behavior and that he had been in and out of hospital a few times because of mental illness, which he then later on confirmed in an interview with The Star. So this was something that, yes, I would try to clarify to people on social media, but at the same time, on social media, there are lots of angry people, and sometimes your voice gets drowned out. So I think that's why, you know, we're here to talk to BFM today about this situation.
And what are some of those, BK, I'll come to you in a bit, but what were some of those sources of anger?
Well, first of all, people didn't know that people thought that he was a sighted person trying to con them. I think that's the most common source of the anger. The second one is that people feel that even though, you know, I've already offered you help and you're still not willing to accept my help, you're scolding me for it. That was another one that really caused people to be really, really angry. So I would say the part where he is not willing to accept help, one possibility could also be linked to the fact that he has mental illness, as he said. And sometimes when people are, people with mental illness and also a lot of neurodivergent people, that means people with different brains, sometimes they interpret things differently. Sometimes they are not able to express themselves the way typical people would be able to. So I would say that, yes, that behavior is actually quite congruent with what he says he actually has.
And BK, how did you hear of the story and what did you think at first?
Okay, for me, it's purely from Facebook, because I just, as a normal day, I go through my Facebook notification and I did see some of my other friends commented. So I went in, actually, in the beginning, I wasn't that interested. I was just reading the text which was posted. But it caught my attention when the sharing, you know, the comments, wow, it's really a lot. So that is where I start clicking on the video. For me, I would say listening to it. Okay, and the comments which I go through the best I can, because it keep on coming out, you know, almost about every minute there are new comments coming in. Some of the comments are their experiences of others who have encountered the similar experience with him in other places. But of course, the one that caught my attention is the negative comments lah. The negative comments, which, in fact, you imagine after I commented, you know, saying that this is just one individual, we shouldn't put the whole weight or comments on the blind community. One of them commented, wow, we have someone, a blind person here who can access their Facebook and can write on the Facebook, you know. So that shows that many who commented really, really have no idea, or have not even interacted with a blind person before. Yeah, so that's how, for me, I was a bit worried about the comment. And in fact, my last comment for before it was brought down, I think, I'm not sure how many comments after that, I did say that, you know, to the person who posted the video, that since now he got so many other persons' experience, he can easily help Uncle Liu lah, by approaching welfare or even making a police report to be able to help him out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And I think that commenter who pointed out that a blind person was using Facebook thought that he has found identified another con man, right? And VK, I have to apologize to you as well, because I was terribly ignorant about this at first as well. Okay. But for the benefits of listeners, can you tell us how does a blind person use Facebook?
Okay. Basically, what we have is called, okay, on we can either choose to access through web, meaning using our computer, or netbook or laptop, or the second one will be on our smartphone. Nowadays, from the smartphone, you can easily access. Basically, what we need is just a text-to-speech engine, and with this, and with the TalkBack application that is available in all Android phones, you know, we are able to access basically everything that you guys are doing. The only thing that we cannot do is... they cannot tell us whether this is a beautiful girl in the photo or not. So other than that, in fact, in Facebook app, you'll be quite amazed that it can tell us, you know, one person in the photo. This image will contain one person indoor or one person outdoor, you know. There is a brief description that Facebook app allows us. Lah.
And to go back to that video for a bit, what should we do in a situation like that that could potentially be hostile? Yeah. I think in that video, nobody reacted with violence, but it could easily have been the case.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the most important thing is what BK mentioned earlier, is to remember to give Kebajikan a call. And I think this Kebajikan hotline number is very important, so everybody please save it, 15999. So this is for the Talian Kase hotline, and I have actually passed this number out to people, you know, not just who encounter situations like this, you know, with people who are potentially unwell, but sometimes people come across families, children, you know, on the streets and all that, call the same hotline as well.
What happens when you call this number?
When you actually call this number, you actually connect directly to the welfare department, which will then guide you, you know, on what are next steps to be able to take. Help them find the location so that they will be able to come to pick up the person and be able to, well, do what's necessary.
So with regard to the initial suspicion on whether Uncle Luke was a con man, how can we be certain on whether or not the person that we see on the street is actually what he claims to be, or whether blind or whether he's OKU or deserves help?
You want to share on this, BK?
Okay. If you're looking from far, it's very difficult to tell. Mm. Okay, what you can see is a blind man holding a walking stick. Okay, so that's the first sign that you'll be able to see. Second, if you are used to how a blind person walk, when we walk, we don't walk like excited, where we just cross this pavement, you know, jump over the drain and, you know, avoid whatever obstacles. We have to follow certain path to make our walking easier, as well as so that we, you know, are not lost lah. For example, some might prefer to follow along the wall. Okay, and to make it easier. And you will see that sometimes, many a times, a blind person will have to use a slightly longer way compared to a sighted person. So this is number one. If you have enough time to observe, you'll be able to see. Of course, the easiest is if you want, when you meet a blind person, you feel that you have the need to clarify, you can always ask for their OKU card. That is issued by our welfare department. So I believe asking for welfare card sometimes is going to be a bit too much for the public to do. So if you really wish to know, you can just hang on and observe one person for a while. You will be able to tell whether they really are totally, or they have a bit of sight which way they can see to walk about independently. And again, I must say that actually blindness, there are a few categories. They have like B1, which is like me, totally. No light, nothing. So we can't see anything at all. B2 with slightly better sight, and the third one will be B3 with even better sight. Yeah, so even if, let's say, you verify them, oh, they have a OKU card, yes, that verifies that they are in the blind category under welfare department. So you still cannot say that they are totally blind. Meaning, you know, for B3, B2 and B3, they still can move around independently, even without a walking stick. Right. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there were some commenters who said they've seen Uncle Luke walk around without a walking stick, but he claims to be in that same interview that he's fully blind.
Mm. Okay. For this, you know, you'll be surprised that for us, okay, let's say when I walk into your office just now, obviously I need Joey to guide me. It's my first time here. Mm. Okay. But if in my own office, I don't walk around with any walking stick at all.
Right.
Yeah. I don't walk around with any walking stick, which means in areas that you're very used to. In fact, like some of my friends, they were sharing, you know, sometimes in their own home area, they will come down and throw rubbish. That means they come down by elevator, by lift, go all the way to the rubbish area, throw and walk back. Yeah, we have no problem in that. Unless if suddenly somebody put something in front of us, or put a chair or something, obstacles, renovation, or you know, moving things around, then we will have a fall, surely. But other than that, if it's all the common situation, yeah, there's no problem. We can do it.
Mm.
We can walk without a walking stick.
Mm.
Yeah.
And sometimes in a public place like a restaurant, for example, a blind beggar would be accompanied by a sighted person. Okay. Are they usually volunteers?
For this, actually, I can't comment fully, but some of them, they get their own friends. They get their own friends, or, you know, like some, they do get some Indonesian helpers to go along with them.
Oh.
Most of them, they operate it that way, from my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think I have another question that comes out of ignorance as well, because you mentioned the various levels of categories of blindness, B1, B2, and B3, but what is the appropriate term to address people who are blind? Is it visually impaired? Is it just blind? Is it visually challenged?
Okay. Actually, blind is a very straightforward word. Very, very straightforward. That is the easiest for people to understand. You know, sometimes when outside, we try to be more casual with the word.
Mm.
So sometimes we say, you know, especially when you're booking a car, we'll say, "I'm sorry, sir, I can't see. Can you please watch out for me, you know, and come to me when you reach my pickup place?" And the driver will be telling us, "You don't worry, my car is red in color. You surely can see me." So you see, they don't catch the term when we say we can't see. So sometimes we have to use the word blind, you know, no matter how harsh it sounded.
Mm.
So we have to, very, very straight, very direct to the point. But of course, many of us would prefer visually impaired to be used. Yeah, visually impaired is, you can say that it's a softer tone to it. Yeah. But both can be used.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm speaking today to Theo Julian and BK about Uncle Luke's video and our reactions in general to the plight of beggars on our streets. We'll talk more after this short break. You're listening to BFM 89.9. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. My guests today are Theo Julian, an occupational therapist and a disability rights advocate, and Tan Boon Kiat, who lost his sight at 24 years of age. We are trying to address some misconceptions that came up in light of Uncle Luke, the blind beggar who was caught on video using strong arm tactics to solicit donations. So since that video was taken down, Uncle Luke, his real name is actually Kor Chai Wing.
Mm.
He's apologized for his behavior and he cited bad temper as well as mental illness as the cause.
Yeah.
And he said he was sorry for being born 100% blind, being partially deaf, as well as mentally challenged. Should he be apologizing for, I can understand the first one, but should he be apologizing for the other three? Does it send out a wrong message?
Yeah, I personally don't think there is a need to apologize for being blind or being mentally ill or being deaf, because those are things that are out of your control. But also at the same time, considering the fact that he does have a history of mental illness, it could be that he feels there is a need to apologize for something, but sometimes our brain, or this is very common actually in people with different kinds of brains, that they know that they need to apologize for something, but they're not exactly sure what they need to be apologizing for. So right. That could be a situation where he's like, okay, I need to apologize for something, but what can I apologize for? Oh, that's the most obvious one. Okay, I will apologize for this.
Sounds like typical guy behavior as well. Sorry, I don't mean to make light of this, but... Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there a place for someone like Uncle Luke in our healthcare system then? Because as you mentioned earlier, he's been in and out of mental institutions since the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So is there a place for him?
Is actually we'll call, I mean, if we called the welfare department, would he then again be out on the streets in a few weeks or...
Well, what I do know is that the welfare department actually has some... I mean, he's elderly. So the welfare department actually has some very nice-looking elderly homes, which are situated very far away, and I've been to one of them. The only way I can get in is to drive. So there are actually lots of elderly people in there, and they're cared for. They have their meals catered for. And it's generally quite a nice environment. Yeah. So I expect that if somebody called him and he was taken in by welfare, that is probably where they would send him.
And is his experience unique or is it typical in this country, you think?
Okay, of course, if you ask me to tell you exactly how many is in the same situation with... Uncle Liu, I won't be able to tell you that offhand. Mm. But basically, what happened to him, I think, is he needs to survive. So in surviving, you see, he will try to use the methods that he is used to the most and the method that he's most successful with, the method that he can, get some cash, you know, just for to buy himself meals, and things like that. But it's a very unique case. Lah.
Okay.
On Uncle Liu currently is a very unique case. You do see people selling like tissues or stickers for the blind, but stopping a car, you know, and not letting them move unless he is given, that is very, very unique. Mm. I would say, I think, offhand, this is the one and only case. Lah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I think what's important for people to know is that one of the things that I did see people say on social media is that, oh, Uncle Luke seems educated. He can speak good English. You know, he's perfectly capable of getting a job. Why is he not doing that? Why is he begging? Right? And
is that a fair question?
It's to be able to understand that, you need to be able to understand the complexities of mental illness. In Uncle Luke's case, I think having a mental illness is actually what's stopping him from being able to live independently on his own and retain a job and his own place to stay and things like that. Because, I mean, there are lots of blind people with jobs and who stay on their own, right, BK?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is the part where you have an invisible disability that people don't notice, you know, that's really stopping you. Like, for instance, if some people's brains are wired differently, they would have difficulty in terms of their interpersonal communication, for instance. They cannot recognize social cues and... Or you know, they might not be able to what is rude, or you know, how to express themselves properly. And these are actually the things that actually get in the way of people staying in their jobs. They might be able to get the job, but they might be able to lose their job very quickly as well. So I think it's the mental illness part which is really affecting him, not so much the blindness part.
And BK, you are gainfully employed. Is the Malaysian workplace accommodative to your needs?
The structure, especially like for the building layouts, you know, that won't be that much of a problem for a blind person, because we still are able to go in and out of buildings, up and down steps, with no problem. I think in terms of structure, it will affect those who are wheelchair bound. You know, that will be more. It can and may affect them more than a blind person. So for me, I've been working for 20 over years. I don't have problem, and we do not only in building structures. If let's say we were to go around public places, taking public transport, all this, yeah, I've been surviving with public transport. Mm-hmm. So I say that we can survive.
Right.
We can survive.
Yeah. KL
if there's any obstacle anywhere, we can find solution for it.
Can you share with us a little about your story then? Were you born blind, and if not, how did you acquire your life skills?
Okay, I was born with glaucoma, with symptoms of glaucoma. So after that, actually, I have one-sided vision because my left eye was hit by a ball around, I think I was 5 years old. So that's when I lost completely of my left eye. And I've been using my right eye up to my form 6. Up to my form 6, that's where glaucoma, it can't be controlled, either with operation or with eye drops. So I completely lost my sight after my form 6 and until now. Yep. Right. And of course, adjusting to it is, I would say that it is not easy, but first step that you have to do is acceptance. Acceptance that, you know, I'm now blind, so life goes on, and I have to adapt to the new method of doing things. And yeah, from there, you just build up slowly.
How long did it take you to get there?
For me, it's quite fast because I know I'm losing my sight. And in fact, some of my friends, they say to me, I didn't notice that you switched from having sight to became blind. They say you adapted to it quite fast. So one example that I used to do is even before I lost my sight, I would close my eyes to walk. Right. I have to. Because, you know, if I wake up tomorrow and notice that the world is dark, and then only I start to, you know, train myself to walk, it's a bit late, and you will be more scared to walk compared to if you have trained yourself. So I will close my eyes, even when I still can see to walk around, and I will walk with a walking stick. So that's how, I mean, for outdoor, that's how I start to train myself. Yeah.
So many have this idea that blind people are dependent on society, and you are living proof that it's not the case. Have you ever faced discrimination, though? Is that a problem?
You know, sometimes discrimination comes because of, those people who discriminate you, they don't know how to help. They don't know how a blind person live their life. So not only discrimination, but sometimes pitiful remarks from them, you know, when you pass by. But all this actually, as years goes by, for me, there's no problem. We were just close. In fact, not only 1 year, but we just close 2 years, and we walked by. Because, you see, a lot of people in the public, those who are curious and yet they still want to help, they will approach you properly, politely. Yeah, they will talk to you, you know, get to know you, chat with you. Even in the short time, you know, they can just be with you for maybe 1-2 minutes. So yeah, they will talk to you. Yeah. And so we really have to brush off you know, all this negative. It's not anything that is not building, if you want to move forward, you have to brush it off. Yeah.
And it's not always that you need help, right? Like the sighted, I guess, would always assume that when they see a blind person, the blind person needs help and they'll immediately rush to their assistance, whether it's crossing the road or holding the chair or holding the door. How do we recognize whether a blind person wants or do not want help?
Okay. First, let's touch on outdoor first, especially like when you mentioned crossing the road. Actually, the first thing to do is, even before you know whether the blind person need help or not, if you approach a person, approach a blind person, introduce yourself, let them know that you are next to them. You know, you can do simple gesture like just touching their shoulder or holding their elbow or just tapping their hand, holding their hand to let introduce yourself, let them know that you are next to them. Because, you see, in many cases, blind person don't answer passerby when they are talking. Because there will be many instances, you know, when somebody say hello next to us, the moment we answer, we notice that the sighted person is talking on the phone. So that in order to avoid such embarrassment, actually, sometimes you can try to get the attention of a blind person. The first time you will fail. Many of us will just continue walking. So the second time, you know, you try. The best is hold our shoulder, touch us, our hand, you know, just something to acknowledge yourself, introduce yourself. So the next question that you do best is ask us, do you need help? Yeah. So that will be the starting point where you will learn and know whether do we need help. So like crossing the road, and it's okay, you know, if let's say if you were to, the first time you approach a blind person, if you ask and they say, thank you very much, I can manage here, you know, it's okay. Don't give up helping the next time you see another person. You will sure bound to one that need help. Yeah. And of course, indoor, usually in places that we are very used to, you will be able to see a blind person moving around independently without any problem. For example, like if you send me to a new building, I will surely ask for help. I don't wait for people to ask me whether do you need help, because in places that I'm totally new. So that's also another way that the moment you try to see the body reaction, once we are, you know, groping around or trying to feel around to find for the lift or escalator or anything, so once you spot this, you can just use the same method. Come to us, introduce yourself, ask us what we need. And another thing is, just before you leave, you can just ask us, you know, whether do you need further help. And just say your farewell after that. Please do not leave us halfway helping. Then we will be again talking to the air, you know. We won't know that you have left. Yes, it really happened sometimes, you know. Someone helping us and we thought they are still walking next to us. Because for some of the public, when they help us, they don't hold us, which is not right, actually. You are supposed to allow us to hold your elbow or hold your shoulder. Or if you are very uncomfortable about that, I mean, at least the sighted hold us, guide us when you're helping us.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, one thing that try not to do is pull our sleeve or pull our bags or pull our walking stick. So these are the things that we will be very uncomfortable with.
So it's also reported that Uncle Luke now belongs to a community called the OKU Network, where he's given aid and shelter. Are you both familiar with this network and the work they do?
No, we haven't managed to find out any details about them yet.
Okay. And I suspect, because I think the star left an email as well, and I suspect this network is going to get a lot of requests after being identified. But are there a lot of NGOs working on similar causes?
For overall OKU, I'm not that sure. But for the blind, actually, in Brickfields itself, we have like Malaysian Association for the Blind. This is, of course, is specifically for the blind. And on top of that, we have Society of the Blind, Malaysia. And the third one will be National Council for the Blind. So these are the three main NGOs that we have. I mean, the main office is in Brickfields.
I think there are various small NGOs all around Malaysia. It's just that they're very scattered and there's no common unified effort. So sometimes it's very difficult to even find out where they are.
Then are we lacking in terms of disability rights?
Okay, disability rights in Malaysia. I think one of the issues the general public has is just the general public just doesn't know enough. For instance, like I talk about discrimination against people who have mental health issues at work. A lot of times people don't even know how to recognize that these are mental health issues. They think that they're just people acting up. So sometimes we do have to give people that benefit of the doubt and observe them for long enough to be able to determine whether or not it's because of something out of their own control, or whether they're doing it on purpose, you know. And I understand, you know, for these issues, it can be very difficult to tell. For physically related conditions like blindness, I think most of the time people, it's more visible. So there, in terms of stigma compared to the invisible disabilities, personally, I don't know what BK thinks of this. Maybe he'll be able to weigh in later. I think there's a little bit less stigma. It's more accepted in society that, oh, okay, you know, these people are part of our society. That's the way they are. People probably not as scared of blind people as they are of mentally unwell people. Yeah. So a lot of times it is the lack of awareness on behalf of the public. I think once the public is aware of, you know, this is the situation. So what can we do about it? Then they will become more accommodating. And I think this is a societal issue. It just requires a lot of speaking out about such issues. Yeah, that's the first step before we would be able to talk more about ways to include people. Yeah.
BK, you have anything to add to this? I also want to ask about whether the kinds of jobs that the blind can do.
Okay. Initially, like the training center for the blind, they started with a few courses. Of course, one main one is a telephone operator. Okay, the second one that they have is like stenographer. And they have also for massage, as well as with industrial. Industrial meaning like they make those bench, you know, or tables or any just small furnitures lah. Okay, but of course, as time goes, like telephone operator, now you'll be replaced with call centers, which the blind still can venture in, but they have to have more skills handling the PC and things like that. If you're talking about new jobs available for telephone operator, I think you can hardly find it nowadays. Mm. And for those more seniors like me, all this, we occupy the spot and we are not letting it go yet. We haven't reached our retirement. And by the time we retire, I don't think so the company will be taking any more new operators.
Right.
Yeah, because you can see many big companies, they are switching over to more like call centers. So, of course, massage, quite many are still trained in massage. And now in the training center for the blind, they do have new courses like administration to, you know, follow the current flow of job vacancies, you know. So they do try to change, but I would say for the blind, actually, many of us who are now still studying and coming up, quite a lot of them, when they go into like, you see, the best that we have is we have our mouth, we can talk, we only don't have sight. And with the current technology that we have, actually, we can go into, there are lawyers, there are teachers, yeah, even there are like psychologists, you know, around. So not as many as masseurs or telephone operator, but we have.
Joan, would you have a final message maybe on misconception, on bridging the gap between the sighted and the blind?
Yeah, bridging the gap between the sighted and the blind. I do think that all of us should actually make more effort to get to know blind people better and get to understand better about, you know, what it's like to be blind, and just make a deliberate effort to reach out and be friends with people who are different from you. Because I think one very important part about blindness, I mean, as BK and I were driving here, I was actually discussing with him, you know, because one of our blind friends, they actually suggested that we should maybe talk about how blind people can contribute to society. And one of the things I realized is that any one of us sighted people can become blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
At any
that's
point true. In time.
Yeah.
These are very important life skills, you know, how to be able to cope without sight. And I see a lot of, I mean, in occupational therapy work, as people grow older, you know, they do start to lose their sight. And there's a lot of fear. So I think, you know, from as early as possible, start to make blind friends, you know, just widen your social network, have more friends who are different from you, and try to understand where they are coming from, how life is like for them. And I think that will help us a lot as sighted people, you know, eventually if we do, you know, touch wood, get to the point where we lose our sight. Yeah, I'm fortunate enough to be trained as an occupational therapist, so I actually know how to go about with a blind stick without sight. But not everybody has that opportunity. So I would say to sighted people, you know, make a deliberate effort to reach out, make more blind friends, make more friends who are disabled, who are different from you, and learn from them. Because able-bodied people can lose their abilities anytime. Yeah. If BK want to add something?
Yeah, actually, one very basic, the blind is just the same as a sighted person. It's only that we are without sight. You know, we have exactly everything same as a normal person. So in order for someone actually to try and experience blindness, actually it's very easy. Close your eyes or blindfold yourself. So in that way, you will have a first-hand experience of how a blind person move about, you know, or do things. Yeah, we are just exactly the same as a normal sighted person, only that we are without vision.
Thank you, BK. Thank you, Joanne.
All right, you're welcome.
Once again, if you need to call the Social Welfare Department, the number is 15999. Yep. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.